Welcome to Above and Below, a Salt Lake podcast, where we're going to be exploring above and below the surface. We'll take a deep dive into the world of fishing, diving, and surfing. Every week, we're going to sit down with experts to learn more about them and get their freshest, hottest takes on all things salty. Welcome to Above and Below, a Salt Lake podcast. I'm your host, Cheyenne Bearson, and today we have team members Michelle Dalton and Peter Miller on with us. Today, we're discussing the Sport Fishing Championship and their recent sail fishing catch in Miami. Guys, how's it going?
Good. How's it going?
Great.
It's going great. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. It's going great. We're having a good time down here in South Florida, catching a lot of fish.
So awesome. So I know this is, you're going to have to take turns here, but tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Yeah. I'm fishing on a regular basis. I stopped doing charters, but we're excited. We are on the road in the next 3 weeks. We have the catch coming up and working our SFC events, and pretty much it for what's going on in my world.
So just sorry to cut you off there, Peter, a little bit more about you, your background. I know we did a recent episode, so you gave us all the full details, but just tell us a little bit of what you do in the fishing world.
Yeah, I charter fishing charters down in here in South Florida at a Lighthouse Point. I'm a broadcaster, one of the on-site correspondents for SFC. I love to cook. I'm always out doing a good hook and cook, work with Salt Life, which I love my team. And yeah, I fish kind of a little all over the place. I do anything from freshwater to saltwater fishing, offshore, inshore, you name it. I love it all.
I don't think there's a person that I talk to in the fishing world that your name doesn't come up at some point. Everybody loves Bombshell, loves following along with you.
Thank you. Well, Bombshell's kind of become its own brand. I kind of feel like it's like my alter ego in some ways. I'm Michelle Dalton when I'm, you know, at home just relaxing, and I'm Bombshell on the road and when I'm on my boat. So yay.
I love that. Peter, what about you?
Well, I feel like I've been doing it forever, and I have, because, you know, catching my first sailfish back in 1978, which is ridiculous, really started catching them in the 80s. And then, you know, ultimately started doing, you know, tournaments and did hundreds and hundreds of tournaments, you know, thousands of billfish releases, and then started my own TV show called Bass to Billfish back in 2008. Did about 100 episodes. Then I started a show called Uncharted Waters on the Discovery Channel, which is currently starting its seventh season. But in between all of that, you know, I'm fishing, we're doing events, and now with the Sport Fishing Championship, I'm one of the hosts, and we're going for our third year, which is really exciting, you know, on CBS Sports. And we're going to be doing our first event in April 18th through the 20th. And it's called The Catch, presented by Verizon. So that's really exciting stuff. You know, one of the big three names in the cellular business. And the key has always been getting involved with non-endemics, you know, like tire companies, you know, cell phone companies, anybody out of the industry, because they just get pummeled. And that's what the SFC is so good at. And also bringing in like these NFL players, and then doing 10 tournament events throughout the year in the Gulf and the Atlantic. So there's a lot of good stuff going on.
Wow, that's a ton of information. So how long does this SFC season go for?
It's pretty much May through August. We end the season pretty much the end or mid-August. We have to go to a lot of locations. We're up the Atlantic, we're throughout the Gulf. We actually added Walker's Key this year. So we're doing a little bit of the Caribbean, which would be nice to kind of get out to these, you know, big locations where the fishing's just awesome. But we have, you know, 4 straight months of on the road and kind of getting to each destination, do our thing, rinse, repeat.
Oh my goodness. A lot of travel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tons. You kind of, what you do is you do the event, you come home, you shake your bag out into the washing machine, you throw it all in the dryer. You're not separating whites, you're not separating any colors. You're going all in on warm, and then you get it out, you fold it, you put it back in your bag, and you kiss your wife goodbye or your husband goodbye.
Like you never went home,
exactly,
right?
And you're on to the next one, and you're making notes the whole way, because we're following along with the tournament scores, you know, and all the boats who are participating. We take notes on what type of boat, what type of engine, the names of the anglers, how many anglers, what they've caught throughout the year. So it's kind of like we're studying, we're analyzing like analysts, you know, we're online analysts of fishing. So it's kind of a dream come true. And then having, you know, Salt Life be a big partner, a 10-year, you know, partner for SFC. And I've been with Salt Life for probably 12 years now. So it's a really great marriage, you know?
I love that. And I actually saw that Salt Life is the main provider, or I'm not sure what the right wording is here, you will, but of the apparel and the sunglasses.
That's the official apparel sponsor.
That's so great. I love to see everybody out there in Salt Life. So I like, Peter, that you hit on all the background work that goes into this from your guys' standpoint, because you're doing all these little things, you're keeping tabs on everybody, and essentially you're doing the background and you're right in the midst of it all. How do you manage that?
It's pretty tricky, but you kind of get into the zone. The first year it was just kind of, you know, just going. You didn't really know what was happening. You just got on planes and got off the planes, woke up early, went to the set, and you got it done. Second year, you kind of knew a little more of how it was going to go down. And now going into the third year, we're really excited about it because we were kind of have a really good lay of the land. The camera crews, the technology has advanced so much with Starlink and being able to get that 4K footage pumped directly into the studio so we can commentate on it. And then you've got Michelle, you know, there at the docks, at the location, being able to get, like, you know, really her hands dirty with these guys and figure out what they're using, what they're catching, and how the day went. And that's really important. I don't get to see that typically because I'm at a news desk, you know, getting the information pumped to us, but Michelle's, you know, boots on the ground.
Yeah, Peter's stuck in the studio, unfortunately. But hey, we get some bad weather over, you know, at these tournament events too. So sometimes I'd rather be in the studio than be, you know, live outside with wind blowing all around and the craziness.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's fun to kind of be in on the action.
How does that look from your standpoint, Michelle, being in on the action live? What's the difference of how Peter's doing it, where he's managing everything behind the scenes and you're right there in it all?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, being live, you know, you get a chance to actually be hands-on and, you know, communicate with the teams, you know, say goodbye before they leave the dock and wish them luck and actually have that kind of, you know, personal connection with them. But it makes it hard because you want to talk about these teams like, you know, you're not favoring anybody, but you do have your favorites and you want to root for them. And the connection's just awesome. But the live setting is, there's just so much going on. Like Peter said, you just have to know everything about the tournament, about, you know, the tackle they're using, the team members. You want to get everything down. So it's just a lot. There's a lot of changing and moving parts. And sometimes I'll call Peter and kind of fill him in. He'll fill me in on the phone and you got to do what you got to do. You're a team. So we do a lot of work together.
I'm sure. How many teams are there in total and when is the cutoff for it? Do you guys already know how many they're going to be for this year, or is there a chance for it to increase?
Yeah, there's a chance for the increase. There's they just posted recently, like, hey, sign up. You know, the more boats, the better. And then you can also enter these divisions for the big fish. For instance, if you don't feel like you can compete in the marlin categories to catch the most or get the most releases, some of the tournaments are way tournaments, but we don't really feature that very much, and it's not that common. But sometimes in the Gulf, they'll bring a fish in. But typically, you can win on four fish. You'll have a big eye tuna, a yellowfin tuna, a mahi mahi, and a wahoo. And the people that enter the tournament have a shot. It's free to enter, and it's like a $50,000 biggest fish for these events. So out of 10 events, you catch a big tuna in the beginning, you might qualify for $50,000 for that one fish, which is pretty cool for free. So it's like, you know, doing the lottery, but
extra little bonus.
Yeah, yeah, it's really exciting though. There's a lot of teams and there's a lot of very, very good teams. And we put camera crews on their boats if they'll have us. And sometimes we have up to 8-9 boats with cameras on them with a Starlink broadcasting it right to our studio. And it's really exciting stuff. It's groundbreaking. It's cutting edge. Technology is through the roof. And, you know, Verizon is our lead sponsor right now. It's pretty exciting.
That's amazing that you guys are getting this content live as it goes down. You're on essentially multiple different boats at once, even though you're not there physically. You're watching everybody's catch come in, kind of monitoring it from an outsider's perspective, yet having all the details of who's doing what, where they necessarily don't know how the other boats are doing as far as they're not seeing the live stream, correct?
Well, for the most part, they could actually, if they're on a sport fisher and they have a TV in their, you know, saloon, then they can actually watch the show while it's going. So there are some boats that actually watch and they kind of keep an eye out on the other boats, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, they can watch it. Some of them are very, very live and there's no delay. Sometimes there's a little bit of delay. Sometimes boats might be 400 miles apart. There they have that big gap in there, like in Texas, for instance. That's long runs. They bring extra fuel bladders and sometimes they go out of range or, you know, sometimes they're in range. Sometimes they're really close to shore and they're crushing them and the guy's way offshore can't see it. So if you have a TV on your boat, you know, that's a good thing. You can watch it live. And we've developed quite a big following through this and people just can't get over how well it's been done. And I'm not bragging about us. I'm bragging about this giant team that's, you know, led by Mark Neufeld, our CEO and president, who's put this giant idea and team together to run these big events and broadcast it live. You know, it's never been done like this. And we're going into our third year and people just can't poke any fun at it. It's serious business and it's looking better and better every year.
That's incredible. What is, I don't know if you can give this away or not, what's the biggest takeaway somebody could win as a team, monetary wise?
Well, the $1 million at the end of the season goes to the winner. So that's the jackpot. Ooh,
and can anybody enter this or is it invite only?
Yes, nope. Anybody can enter. You have to have a minimum of 3 tournaments throughout the season that you fish. So
and you can also win a division. You can fish the Gulf division and you could fish the Atlantic division and you could win $100,000 for winning the Gulf. And typically the Gulf guys are going to stay in the Gulf and then they'll fish a finale and then the Atlantic guys will stay in the Atlantic and then go and fish a finale somewhere, possibly on another boat so they don't have to take their personal boat there. And then you could win $50,000 for those 4 biggest fish. So in a perfect, perfect world, you could win $1 million. You could win a division, which would be another $100,000, and then you could win another 4 big fish, which would be another $200,000.
All four big championship fish.
So you know, if my math's not correct, if it's right, it's 1.3. Yeah,
that is absolutely insane. Talk about the experience of a lifetime to be able to go out and even just knowing, like, there's so many people that play the lottery, and they know deep down, like, there's not really that big of a chance of them winning. But to be able to do this and think there's a chance I could win big or even take the whole thing. I'm sure there's at least a few teams that feel like we're going to take this. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's been one team quantified that won 2 years in a row and they won the Gulf Division 2 years in a row. So that there's a really good shot. They have a very good team. All the guys are very good. And sometimes it's, you know, it's a matter of luck catching that really big one or getting into the right area at the right time. And then the next boat is like chasing their tails, trying to find you, figuring out what to do. And they maybe think their methods aren't as good as they should be and they want to change it up. So it gets in their head. You know, it's a mental game as any sport is. So it's kind of wild to watch it on TV and know that guy's 400 miles away and there's no chance in catching him and getting to him. So you've got to make do with what you've got. Maybe you run to a different area, but there's a lot of science in the game. The sonars, they have sonars right now where people can actually see the outline of a marlin swimming 200 feet down, you know, looking up at their baits, rising up, maybe taking a look, sinking down. They can see it turn left or right. They follow it. They can present a bait for sometimes an hour or two, and they might even get a bite. So the technology has been just like through the roof.
This information is so great because me not really being all that familiar with the SFC and just doing a little bit of research on my own and then hearing it from you guys who live and breathe it, getting all this insider information, it's truly eye-opening. Not only how big of an event this is, but how much goes into it between all the background work, all the different teams putting in the research. Like you were saying, it's they're putting in the science to try to win, to try to catch the biggest fish. There's a lot more that goes into it than the average person might think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I do want to just bring us back to the catch. And if we could just go into a little bit more details, because I'm not sure if I was misunderstanding when I was on the website. Is it some kind of a concert as well?
Yes, we have. It's actually a kind of a big deal. You know, in the past, we've had country music star come in and do a couple of performances, maybe fish the event. And this year, Michelle, who do we have performing?
We've got Loud Luxury. We have Big Boy. We've got
Kling and Day. Kling and Day. This is a far in like kind of like, I don't know, club. I would say EDM kind of style. So it's a little bit for everybody, you know, because a lot of these football players, you know, they're in their 20s all the way to their, you know, mid 30s, I guess, at their highest level. And then, of course, you've got the greats that are coming in that are older than that. And they're now coaching. And it's a pretty big event. We're going to be doing it at Pier 66 in Fort Lauderdale. So we have the 10 events under the SFC. That's the tournaments. And then we have the catch, which is kind of separate from, you know, those main tournaments, but it brings in the NFL players and they get to fish with professional teams that are in the SFC. So it's like a little bit of everything. So we have a pro-am that might have 20 to 30 boats on day one. And then the main tournament, the catch, is on day two. And that's when you'll have the superstars, you know, of the NFL fishing on these boats. You know, you'll have guys that, you know, you'll know everyone's name. Trust me. Even if you don't watch football, you're like, I know that guy.
Yeah. And it's incredible seeing these big, you know, tough guys, you know, fight a little bonita or a little, you know, blackfin tuna and just, you know, tear them apart. They don't know what they're in for until they, you know, they get behind the rod and reel.
But. And of course, the competitive nature of these guys. I mean, think about their whole lives have been about winning. So you might have a defensive tackle on the same boat as a quarterback from another team. So that defensive tackle has probably tackled that quarterback in previous years or that same year, and now they're competing to see who can catch the most fish on that boat. Yeah. So it's pretty funny. So you keep tabs. They get awards. You know, concerts, food, events, sponsorship, you know, is they're going to be showing up with their tents and activities and activations. And it's going to be a really, really exciting catch, you know, that's for sure. And the fact that we're re-airing on CBS proper in October after an NFL game, that's going to be, you know, massive for the numbers, for the viewership, and just bringing it further and further into the arena where we know this industry alone is $142 billion a year. I mean, $142 billion, yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, wow. So that's a big number, and that's what the Fish and Wildlife Commission's come up with, and those are the numbers. So this is a big sport, and they say that this sport, the viewers for this sport, have an average income of $150,000 for their household. So that's actually higher than, like, F1, higher than PGA, higher than basketball. So fishing is up at the very, very top of the guys and gals that can spend the money to buy these products and get involved in these events that they're seeing on TV that we're showing.
That is huge. And I was just thinking about it before you mentioned the showing in October, that there's got to be people who don't even really connect with fishing and know that their favorite players are going to be doing it. And that brings them to tap in and then probably opens up a whole new interest for them being able to connect with their players on a different level.
That's the plan. I mean, all competition, right?
Totally. I'm sure there's a lot of competition and a lot of work that goes into it. And you guys, I could talk to you guys for hours about this. But I did hear that you went on a recent fishing trip with Team Salt Life in Miami. Can you tell us about how that went?
Oh, that day we went out with Peter.
That's right. We got a call from the president of Salt Life. He's a good friend, you know, known him for a long time. Still remember that first phone call with him when I said, hey, you know, I'd love to talk to you about maybe endorsing my show. And he's like, that sounds like a good idea, Peter. And since then, it's been like, you know, off to the races. And we fished together a few times a year. And he came down. We went out on my 37 Invincible. And
it was a beautiful day.
Michelle came down and we went kite fishing. That's kind of what I've been doing since the 80s. So I'm, you know, adept at it. Michelle's adept at it as well. So we flew the kites, we caught bait, we bought bait. We had goggle eyes, we had pilchards, we had a little bit of everything. And we went out there and we caught sailfish. We caught a bunch of bonita, tons of action.
Yeah,
tons of action.
Can't complain about the bycatch when it, you know, makes for good bait for the next go around. So
totally. That sounds like a blast of a day. How long were you guys out there for?
Oh, geez. I can't remember. I do remember we met in the dark and we were kind of heading out and the sun was rising and we were running out there and Jeff and I, Michelle, were standing at the console, kind of, you know, playing some music and getting out there. Jeff's a big music buff. Michelle's a musician, music buff. I'm a music buff, but a hack. You know, I like, you know, my little things. But we got out there and I remember we caught a sailfish. I think Jeff caught the first one. and we caught the bonitas, and we had a lot of action.
A lot of action around us. All those boats were catching them left and right. And we're like, what's going on here? Then we lost the dredge.
Yeah, you got a brand new dredge, which is like a teaser, like a $200 teaser. I was so excited to put it out. And I had hired somebody for the day to kind of run the boat for my tower. And I was like, hey, and the props, and it just sunk.
No.
And we had, you have a little float with it, but the float got chopped up too. So I just watched it sink.
Midday wasn't so smooth, I'd say.
And the guy that sent it to me, he's like, hey, how's that dredge working out? I'm like, I'm sorry, it's at the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, no.
But
this
anyway.
This is funny. I actually lost that same exact dredge like a week before.
You know, they have a lifetime warranty.
Oh, they do.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know for losing it down at the bottom of the ocean. But long story short, Jeff, he said, Peter, you know, I got a call at 5:30. How long does it take to get back to the dock? What are you thinking? How long are we going to stay at? I said, Jeff, you know, this is team effort. You know, what do you think? He goes, well, as long as I can be in my car for this call at 5. I said, let's give it 20 more minutes. And every time I do that, for some reason, we wind up catching another sailfish. Mm-hmm. Sailfish comes up, eats, we get them, lay down on the side of the boat and swim them. Got some beautiful pictures, great video, nice moments, lots of high fives. And
yeah,
and
Jeff
great,
had to
right
do
in.
The walk around the boat a couple times, landing that sail. So that's always fun, you know, clearing lines, lifting all the rods up, trying to get everything out of the way.
So Jeff caught a sail, and who else did?
I caught one at the very end of the day. That was that last 20 minutes. And I was like, there he is. I knew it. Every time I tell Jeff, we went to the Keys once. He'd never caught a sail. His wife, Erin, had never caught a sail. I took my boat all the way down to the Keys with all my gear. And it was really rough. Everybody was feeling funky. And just like Peter, you know, it's not looking good. I said, Jeff, I put so much into this. You don't understand. I have my entire house in the boat. Everything I have, I prep for a week. Please give me like another hour. He goes, okay. Doubleheader sailfish. He and Erin, his wife, catch their first sailfish ever, got them both to the boat. And from that point on, when I say 20 minutes to an hour, he's like, okay.
What would happen if you didn't catch those fish, though?
Just more vomit.
Yeah. Oh, no. I actually remember seeing the photos of them, and they looked just beaming with excitement on that doubleheader. And I mean, it's always fishing just works like that, where like it's slow, and you're like, you'd never really want to leave because you're like, anything could change in just a minute's time, like that, all the way down to the very last minute, you know, everything could
always
flip.
Mm-hmm. That's very well said, right? We with some of the tournaments we fish, they'll be like, all right guys, 5 minutes left of a 4-day tournament, and we never get dejected or feel like you're out of it until they call lines out, because we've caught fish in the last minute, the last 30 seconds, the last 15 seconds. You hold the microphone in your hand, and if you hook up, hey, get lit, hooked up right now. And the committee boat knows you're hooked up, but you fight the fish for another hour and a half and they go into shore. But it's those last minute moves and those last minute bites are very common.
That's good to know that there's always hope, even up to the last minute, for people who are considering this tournament or any tournament fishing. It's hold on to the very end. You guys had mentioned goggle eye and other bait. What did you buy and where did you buy it from?
For the trip in Miami?
Yes.
That was one of Peter's guys. We got threadfin herring, goggle eyes, just a local bait guy.
Yeah, we had a little bit. Actually, we got threadfin herring. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember because all the days get mixed together. I shot a show last week and I got threadfin herring from one guy and I got a ton of pilchards from the other guy. So yeah, we got threadfin herring and gogs, which was a good move, you know, and luckily we got on the fish. But it's a good friend of mine, Jimmy Lewis, down here. His dad invented the fishing kite way back in the day, named Bob Lewis. It's Bob Lewis Fishing Kites. And I've been buying bait from him since 1990, I think. And every time I see him, you know, I'm in a different look, a different boat, a different something. I'm like, Jimmy, it's Peter. I always have to introduce myself after freaking 34 years. I'm like, Jimmy, it's Peter Miller. He's like, hey, Pete, what do you need? I'm like, goggle eyes and this and that. He's like, all right, hang on. Let me catch you a few more. So he'll catch bait right next to us. We're standing there picking our noses.
He was doing that, yeah.
He actually caught like another dozen because I was like, hey, it's Peter. So wait, hang on. Let me catch you 12 more.
He was talking so much, I started casting out in the water with, you know, a little sabiki, just trying to get ballyhoo. We kind of saw him swimming around a little bit. Didn't get any, but you know, as they were kind of chit chatting away, it was like, well, if we're going to stay hanging around here, then be productive.
Totally. And it's great to have connections like that, especially that's such a long time connection for your bait. It shows the loyalty and the friendship you've created, even though you have to reintroduce yourself when you're on different boats. Like, he's got you and you need the bait.
I do it all the time, you know, for these older guys, you know, when we're fishing. I mean, some of them are 85 years old, you know, and they haven't seen me in 15 years. And I'm like, hey, Tim, it's Peter Miller. He's like, I know who you are. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I just feel like I got to introduce myself. I see him on the plane flying to Guatemala or wherever we are. I'm like, hey, Steve, it's Peter Miller. He's like, I know. I'm like, okay, fine. Maybe finally I don't have to say it anymore. You know, maybe finally.
That's too funny. So it seems like the sailfish like the bait that you had that day. What were the sizes that you and Jeff caught? Was there a size difference, or were they about the same size?
Yeah, I think they were pretty similar. You know, the sailfish generally aren't heavy fish, but they're long. So people say, like, how big was it? If you say like 40 pounds, they're like, oh. But if you say 7 feet, they're like, oh.
They look
so
bigger.
I always say, oh, about 7-8 feet. They're like, oh, nice. So 7-8 feet.
I'd say they're on the larger average, though.
Yeah.
Decent fish.
That's good. So to hype up our listeners to follow along with the SFC and all the excitement that they're going to see as this unfolds, can you give us a little bit of your personal emotions? Doesn't necessarily have to be from the Miami trip, but each of you give me your emotions when you're reeling in a big sailfish or really any kind of fish that you could enter in a tournament like this. What are your emotions? What are the feelings? Just give it to us.
I feel like that excitement just, I mean, it's always there, but it's definitely kind of gone down a little bit over the years. I mean, once you catch, you know, hundreds of sailfish, it's not as exciting. But what's exciting is when you see other people catch them. So when you put other people on the fish and, you know, you're rooting, cheering them on, that's, I think, a little bit more exciting for me.
For me, it's kind of escalated, actually. I've gone the opposite way, where they still, each bite is so, like, incredible that that's why I've lost my voice a little bit. My voice is cracking. I'm actually drinking tea because I've been screaming for, like, 5 straight days.
Oh, that's awesome.
Catching sailfish and bonefish. And, you know, we've been in the Everglades with airboats. So it's like you're screaming and screaming. So I have this little, like, sounds like I'm going through puberty at 55 years old. So
it's like Benjamin Button over here.
Yeah, Benjamin Button. I
got to puberty again.
I hope everyone will excuse my voice cracking or make fun of it, whatever you want to do. But still, when I see the sailfish come up, and I'm explaining it, you know, I'm like, the current runs north, they're going to be swimming south, they're going to come up on the right side when they eat, drop back, let him go. But if he comes up jumping, there's nothing you can do. You got to start whining. But if he's not jumping, slowly push up the drag. And it feels like kind of like the first time every time. It sounds like it's maybe I'm just saying that, but it's true. And I just filmed a show where I went by myself on my boat with my camera crew to catch sailfish solo. One of my favorite things to do. And when that sailfish came up, I mean, I'm just going berserk, screaming, driving the boat, running around, driving the boat from this side, passing the rods, moving everybody out of my way, barking orders like a psycho. And we get it done. You know, it's the same thing with the bonefish. You know, you see a bonefish on the flats and you see him swimming by, and that might be the only shot you get. And you have to watch exactly where he's swimming. The wind's blowing, the boat's moving, captain's screaming, and you got to get that cast just right. And it gets my heart like beating out of my chest. My sunglasses like fog up.
I can hear his heartbeat right now.
So for our listeners who might think Peter's being a little dramatic, he's not. Because I remember a Salt Lake fishing trip I was on where you were captaining for us. And I think it was bad conditions that day or something. And we just ended up catching amberjack. But you made that was like the most fun amberjack catch I've ever had. Seeing you get hype mode and you were rolling across the bow with the rods. And
oh, yeah, the roll. Yeah.
Did you do that famous roll?
Yeah, I was like, that's my new move. I mean, I used it that time for the first time. I tried to employ it the other day on a tarpon. I took these people from Invincible out, and I couldn't quite complete the roll because it was so rough. Oh, no. I thought if I did roll, I might roll right out of the boat because it was like 8 foot seas. And I went up there and I'm like, gonna roll. Here comes the roll. I'm like, uh-uh. So I just slid my arms. My elbow is like so swollen right now. I smashed it. But hey, it's part of the game.
That's one thing about catching sailfish. I feel like you have really good footwork on the boat. You know, you got to be used to kind of going all under and above rods and, you know, not tripping up on yourself. And this one's got it locked in, I guess.
It's a dance, right?
Yeah, it's a dance. For sure.
It's a ballet of emotions.
Well, I love to hear about both of your passions for it and knowing that even after countless catches, you still get just as excited, still have that same rush of a feeling. It goes to show how much you both truly love what you do. And I would like to know what your favorite part of the Miami trip was. Could be something as silly as like not even fishing related, just a fun joke or moment that you guys shared within the boat. What was your favorite part of that whole trip?
I would say just our camaraderie alone. I mean, Jeff Stillwell, president of Salt Life, is awesome. He's just such a fun, pleasurable person to hang out with, and he loves music. So, you know, us kind of talking about music, if you were to live on an island, what's, you know, the top three albums that you would have, you know, for the rest of your life to hear, and, you know, little just conversations like that. We always have a great time.
I think I have two moments. I think one of the moments was when I was barking orders during the sailfish catch, because there's people, there's social media people, there's anglers, there's captains, there's mates, and you know, we're doing all these things, and I have a way to do things that makes it easier in the long run if we could just do what I want to do. And I remember yelling, barking some orders, and Michelle goes to me, she goes, "Yes, sir." like I was too. Super. And then I was like, "Oh no, I'm barking orders." Michelle just kind of slowed me down a little bit. She put a little speed bump in front of me, and I was like, "Uh-oh, I better calm down." So that was one favorite moment of mine. And then two was getting my hand on the bill of Jeff's fish. When you take people fishing, when you've got to catch that fish, and you've got camera crews, and you've got people that are just like waiting with bated breath, you know, bated breath, and you get that fish at the boat, it's the best feeling in the world, and it takes all the pressure off. That's when you could really start to enjoy the day, and that's when you really go into tournament mode, though. At the same time, you can enjoy it, but then you're hyper-focused on the next fish because now you know they're around.
Another one of my favorite parts of the day, too, one of our camera girls, Tatiana, she got on one of the bonita that we hooked up to. There's a big school of bonita that came in, and I think there were, what, five or six of them. And we were running out of, you know, hands to reel these fish in. So Tatiana didn't even really realize that she had a fish on. She just thought she was clearing a line to get it out of the way. And then she's like, "Oh, my gosh, this whole time." I said, "You didn't know what you were fighting?" She said, "Oh, I just thought it was a weight, you know, that it was just a heavy line." But that was really cute.
That was pretty exciting to have five fish on at once.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. One can come up as a sailfish. We've had that in the tournament. We've got four bonitas on. There's 1 minute left in the tournament. And then my fish jumps behind the boat with 30 seconds to go. And the captain backed down the boat so hard that the water rushed into the salon, through the living room, down the stairs, into the stateroom, and flooded the entire boat. We almost sank. And those are moments where every time I see like a five banger, I call it, the hooked up, I'm always waiting for a sailfish to come out. You know, because they're swimming with those same bonita. The tunas are swimming with those. The marlin are there. It's they're all together. So I'm always prepared for something really special to happen anytime the rod bends.
That's true. And you never know who's going to get that lucky hook to, like, you're like kind of secretly hoping it's going to be you. Like you're seeing bonita. Then you're like, is this one a bonita too? You know?
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
Blackfin tuna. We call them faux tuna, those bonita.
Was that Tatiana's one of her first fish she's caught being behind the camera so often?
I think so. I'm pretty sure she still had the camera in hand too, or she had that strap, you know, around
committed.
Her body. So that was kind of funny. Yeah. She didn't realize she was committed until she realized, you know, the fish was coming on board, and she's like, "That's mine? That came from me?"
You know, she did. She did come through here with Katie. And they did catch peacock bass here on my lake. And actually Tatiana caught a really nice one.
We're trying to get her, you know, into the fishing world a little bit more.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm sure she had a blast with you guys and being able to be a part of the action hands-on as well.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know our listeners have loved hearing all your information about the SFC and about your recent fishing trip in Miami. So if you can shout out your social media so they can follow along, they can be in with all the updates that you guys have going on in your personal lives and with the SFC, get to see all your catch and all the hype that you bring to the table. That would be great. Michelle?
Okay. Well, mine is @bombshell_fishing, and it's spelled BOMBCHELLE.
All right. That's pretty solid. Pretty
all
straightforward.
The channels.
I have a couple. I have Peter Miller Fishing on Instagram, and my TV show is UnchartedWatersTV.com. and I have a lot of the information there. And my new season premieres on the Discovery Channel, Uncharted Waters with Peter Miller, on April 6th on Saturday mornings. Perfect time. You wake up, get your breakfast, get your coffee at 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings. And I've got New Jersey bluefin tuna in the cold, cold weather. We've got striped bass as well. And then we've also got another show, which is Light Tackle Sword Fishing with Ray Rocher and my friend Russell Kleppinger in Miami, 20-pound test on a hand crank. And then we go to the Galapagos Islands for striped marlin, blue marlin, killer whales eating sharks in front of us. I mean, mind-boggling stuff. And then just shot a show. That's why I lost my voice, you know, just the other week. And it was sailfish, bonefish, bass, and airboating and alligators and bass in the Everglades. So it's going to be pretty exciting.
I want to be Peter when I grow up.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun. Can I join?
Well, you're going to need about 20 more years to catch me.
Oh, well, that is awesome. And for our listeners, if you want a little bit more insight on kite fishing and the way that they did it in Miami, feel free to check out our previous episode with bombshell Michelle Dalton, where she goes into the full deep dive on all kite fishing details you could ever imagine.
That's right. Oh, also be sure to follow SFC's Instagram page as well, Sport Fishing Championship. So that will give, you know, everybody a little bit of insight as to what's going on in the season and any info with the catch.
Awesome. Well, I already follow you guys, so I'm going to go ahead and follow that as soon as I'm done with this episode. It was so nice having you guys on. Thank you for your time and all the information that you shared with us.
Thank you so much. Ann.
Have a great day. See you next time.
You too.
Right, you too.
Bye.
Thanks for listening in to Above and Below a Salt Life podcast. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Real Salt Life. If you've enjoyed this episode, rate and review us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast to help spread the word. And remember, stay salty.